بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Belief regarding تقدير predestination. Belief in قدر and تقدير means to believe that whatever happened, happens or will happen, good or bad, is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and happens by His command and will. It is absolutely essential to believe in تقدير for the validity of Iman. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, if we spend gold to the extent of Mount Uhud in the path of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will not accept it from you unless you believe in Qadr, Taqdeer, and you know that whatever has befallen you could not have missed you, and that whatever has missed you could not have befallen you. If you die while holding a contrary belief to this, you will definitely enter the fire. Abu Dawud. This belief of Qadr, of Taqdeer, is amongst the mysteries of Allah Ta'ala. It is not fully comprehensible to the human mind, nor can it be fully explained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade delving into the concept of taqdeer. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, once we were disputing about the concept of taqdeer, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came upon us. He became so angry that his face turned red to such an extent that it seemed that the seeds of a pomegranate were squeezed out on his cheeks. He exclaimed, what? Have you been commanded with this? O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what, have I been sent to you for this? Verily those before you were destroyed when they disputed in this matter. I implore you by oath, do not dispute in this matter. Tirmizi. Due to the belief of taqdeer, one should not abstain from doing righteous actions, thinking that whatever has been written will occur. Firstly, one does not have knowledge of what has been written for him. Therefore, he should perform good actions so that his result is good. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked regarding this matter, he replied, perform good actions, because each person will easily do that action for which he has been created. Secondly, as one's results are written in taqdeer, the causes are also written. Example, where it is written that one will be a jannati, it is also written that this will be because of iman and good actions, noble actions. Thirdly, no one abstains from utilizing means for acquiring sustenance in this world, stating, I will receive whatever has been written for me. Then he makes full effort and he says everything is in taqdeer, is written, but he still makes an effort. So why should one not adopt this approach with regards to the akhirat? So for the akhirat also we say it's written, I'm in Qur'an, Jannah, to Jahannam. So let me do those a'mal also which will lead a person to Jannah. And it's like how in this world a person, he knows whatever is written for him, he still has to make an effort for that, even though it's written for him. So to a greater extent with regards to matters of the akhirat, the person will have to do the actions, and inshallah the actions which a person is doing is a sign that a person is in which direction a person is going towards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 20th para was recited. In the 19th para, in Surah An-Naml, it had mentioned that many nations, when they reach a certain limit, and now there was no hope of cure for them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those nations. In the beginning of the 20th Juz para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's ihsan and favors upon human beings were so great that after all of these kindness upon men, and men still forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if then the punishment of Allah ta'ala comes upon such a person, is this contrary to justice and fairness? Never ever. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what and what favors He has bestowed upon men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 5 ayat. In different ways Allah is asking that the ones who you are taking as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they better or is Allah better? Who is Allah? The one who created the heavens and the earth, and Allah is the one who has sent down for you water from the heavens by means of it beautiful plantations and gardens Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got for you. It was not within your ability to even create one tree from the ground, but Allah ta'ala granted you those things, all the fruits what you are eating, the plantations which you are taking benefit. How can you take any other partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made the earth a means for a person to remain firm on it. It's easy for a person, it's not so soft that a person sinks into the ground, nor is it so hard that a person cannot plant anything in the ground. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so wonderful and comfortable for a human being, and Allah ta'ala has created rivers in between, strong mountains which is holding the earth, and Allah ta'ala has made barriers between the oceans and between the rivers and the seas. So how can you take any other partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is the one who When a person is in distress and he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the one who removes the distress from a person. Allah answers the call of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you his vicegerent on the earth. What a great bounty Allah has given you. How can you take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who in the darkness of the day and night, Allah ta'ala guides a person by means of stars and by all other signs Allah ta'ala grants to a person. So a person, even in the darkness, he can travel. Allah is the one who sends down winds as a means of glad tidings before the coming of his mercy, before the coming of his rains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us the first time. Allah will give us life a second time. And while Allah has created us, he is sustaining us in this world. From the heavens, the rains are coming down, and from the earth, Allah is taking out plantations. So is there any other God and deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What a wrong thing we have done. When a person is doing shirk, taking partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is doing the greatest injustice, greatest evil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full right then thereafter to punish such a person who has got this evil quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that the other important thing to remember is the day of Qiyamah. And those people who deny the Qiyamah, the life of the hereafter, they will make funny excuses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers some of the questions which they said that how come when we are stand and we are go thrown in the ground, we completely destroyed, how will we be taken out? And our forefathers also were promised all of this year, but they haven't come back to life as yet. These are all fairy tales. It's not a reality. And today, a Muslim person will not say this, but many have shak in their heart. They have doubt regarding the akhirat. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the akhirat, that you have to have yaqeen, conviction. And conviction is the opposite of shak, doubt. A person cannot have any doubt with regards to matters of the akhirat, the matters of the year after. The full yaqeen and conviction has come into a person's heart regarding these matters. So these people say, Mata hadha al-wa'du, if you are true, O Nabi of Allah, when is this promise going to take place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create you a second time. And Allah knows exactly when Qiyamah will take place, that a certain time will come. And when the time comes, it will be too late for a person now to ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, when we will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of those people who had this fasid madda in them, this corrupt matter, they won't have any answers. They'll be completely shut. They won't be able to say anything at all. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. A person who brings a good deed, then for him is far, far better than what he has brought. Allah will give him great, great rewards. And from the fear of the day of Qiyamah, he'll be safe. And on the other hand, a person who has brought evil, his face will be flung into the fire of Jahannam, according to the actions which a person has done in this world. Here the ulama mentioned, we heard from Hazrat Kim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, that Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْسَيِّئَةِ. That not man fa'ala. In other paras also, a person who جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ, who brings forward a good action, he will get 10 times minimum returns. But Allah Ta'ala mentions, not just fa'ala, a person who did a good action, but who brings it forward. So many times in life, a person does a good action, but after he destroys the action, maybe he shows off to somebody, or he backbites about somebody, and that good action is taken now and given to the other person. So on the day of Qiyamah, he'll come, he won't have the action with him. Even though he did the action, but he hasn't brought it forward. So it's not just to do an action, but it is to look after the action after a person has done it, and then to bring it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. On the other hand, Allah mentions, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, a person who brings forth an evil action on the day of Qiyamah, and not a person who has done an evil action. Because sometimes a person does an evil action, then he makes tawbah. He asks Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, so that thing is wiped out. So now that person has done an evil action, but he has completely destroyed it. So on the day of Qiyamah, when he will come before Allah ta'ala, he hasn't brought it forward. So there won't be any punishment for a person. So therefore, whenever a person does an evil action, so good action, we should try to look after the good actions. And the evil actions, a person should make tawbah immediately thereafter. So on the day of Qiyamah, we are not held responsible, we are not brought and taken to task for our evil actions. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of the surah, he says, I have been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who owns everything in this world. I have been commanded that I must be amongst the Muslims. Muslims means a person who is subservient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have been commanded to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. By means of the tilawat of Quran Sharif, a person gets hidayat and guidance. Allah ta'ala says, فَمَنِ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. A person who gets hidayat, and he is getting hidayat for himself, only he will benefit. But if a person is misguided, then tell him, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am amongst the people who are the warners. I've come and warned you. I've done my duty and responsibility. You've got now the choice to accept or not to accept. The next surah is Suratul Qasas. In this surah is actually revealed, the surah when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was banished, was taken out from Makkah Mukarramah, and Kufar wanted to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the command to make hijrat to Medina Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarramah. He was extremely disheartened. And he looked back at Makkah Mukarramah and he said, "Oh, Makkah Mukarramah, you are the most beloved land in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my eyes also. And he said, my people had not taken me out, they would never have left you." So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah's help and assistance is with you, that you will leave now. But Allah will protect you on your journey also to Medina Munawwara. And a second thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually allow you to come back to Makkah Mukarramah. And they say like how normally when a person tries to cause harm to somebody else, he actually is taking an axe and knocking it onto his own foot. In the 15th part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنَا وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبَثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا سُنَّةَ مَنْ قَرَرْتَنَ لَا قَبْلِكَ وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا تَحْوِيلًا. That Allah's system is such that those people who tried to take the Anbiya alayhim salam, who tried to cause harm to them and take them out of their land, then Allah Ta'ala made it such that these people, for a short while they remained in the land, then Allah Ta'ala took them out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken out of Makkah Mukarramah. But just 2 years later, Allah Ta'ala took out the kuffar from Makkah Mukarramah. They came on the field of Badr and they were taken out from the lands forever. The 70 of the leaders were killed and they were dispatched to the fire of Jahannam. Forever they were taken out of their land. So you will try to cause harm to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might outwardly cause a bit of harm to them, but the effect which will come back unto you, it will completely destroy a person. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this, he mentions this, the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that how Fir'aun, he also wanted to cause harm. Somebody had a dream, or Fir'aun himself had a dream, that this one youngster will be born and he will destroy Fir'aun. So Fir'aun tried all of his tricks to not allow this child to come in on the surface of the earth. According to some Mufassirin, they mentioned an incident that Fir'aun actually, the night when Musa alayhi salam was supposed to have been conceived, he divided the men and the women. He kept them completely separate, that the men were on one side and the women on one side, and the two people who were kept as guards to look after them, one side was a man, one side was a woman, they were husband and wife, and they saw everyone else now is completely separate. So they had relations, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was conceived because of this year. So what Fir'aun tried, it went against us, completely unsuccessful. Then when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born, Fir'aun did not want any children to be born. Immediately they would be killed if any child was born. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam's mother that suckle him, and then after when you got fear for him, place him in the ocean, in the river, and do not have any fear. We will return him back to you also. So when she was outwardly, you are putting him in a place of destruction inside the water. But Allah Ta'ala says that the place of water is a place of protection for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He's put in the water it shows Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and eventually it comes by the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, and she says that this is qurratu ayni li walak, this is a coolness of eyes for me and for you, O Fir'aun, don't kill him, perhaps he will benefit us, or we will take him as a child. And Fir'aun accepted eventually. Musa alayhi salam's mother the child doesn't want to drink milk from anybody. Musa alayhi salam's mother goes there, she says, I'm a woman, I can feed children, I've got a very nice smell, people like me, babies like me. Musa alayhi salam immediately started suckling from her and taking from her. There are so many other people before that they tried, he refused to drink milk from them. And Fir'aun saw this, he had a bit of doubt, he couldn't say anything. Eventually he started paying her for feeding Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. She took Musa alayhi salam back home. Fir'aun wanted to destroy Musa alayhi salam, now he's actually paying the fees to feed and look after Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, amazing way Allah Ta'ala returned. فَرَجَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ, we return him to his mother, so her eyes can be cooled. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ, she doesn't have grief, and she will know that the promise of Allah Ta'ala is true. But unfortunately, many people do not know that how the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. And Musa alayhi salam thereafter lived in the palace of Fir'aun, and he grew up. Allah Ta'ala wanted him to live in that palace, so that later on he does not become overawed by the wealth and the power of Fir'aun. And you're living with these people, eventually you become you don't have so much of awe and respect in your heart for them. They are a normal person compared to a poor person just coming now suddenly and he's seeing all of this glamour and glitter. So Allah Ta'ala made his tarbiyat in that way, that Musa alayhi salam grew up in that environment. But eventually Musa alayhi salam also had to leave. One day he had a fight with one of the Fir'aun's people and he punched him and he passed away. So when Fir'aun heard this, he got very angry with Musa alayhi salam and he said, this is the one who is supposed to destroy my kingdom. So they sent someone to kill Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salatu salam runs away and he goes to Madian. When he comes to Madian, he stays in the Sohbat of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam for 10 years. Here the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Musa alayhi salam to live under the hukumat, under the rule of somebody, in the Sohbat and company of a great Nabi of Allah. Either Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam was a Nabi, some ulama say he wasn't a Nabi, but a very pious person. So Musa alayhi salam lived in his company because Allah ta'ala wanted him to learn that if a person wants to become a ruler, he must be ruled first. He must be mahkum. When a person is ruled first, if a person is a student, he can become an ustad. If a person is a murid, he can become a sheikh. But if a person, he wasn't a student of anybody, how can he become a ustad? If he wasn't a murid, how can he become a sheikh? So this is a system which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in the world. So Allah ta'ala wanted to make the tarbiyat of Musa alayhi salam in this way. So for 10 years, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stayed in the sohbat and company of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Musa alayhi salam went to Madian, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was all alone. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Said, oh Allah, I'm completely muhtaj and in need of whatever goodness, every kind of goodness which you can bestow upon me. They say the barakat and blessings of this dua was that Allah ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam a wife also. He gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam work. He had a job. Allah ta'ala gave him shelter. Allah ta'ala gave him food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave him nabuwat. You see, every kind of goodness is in this dua. Rabbi inni lima antalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. After making this dua, one of the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, who Musa alayhi salam had helped, she comes walking to him. Tamshi ala istihya. She comes walking with haya and shame. It's such a beautiful quality in woman to have shame. That Allah ta'ala specially mentioned the walk of the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, that how she walked. She came with walking with haya and shame. That this is a beautiful quality, how a woman should be walking also. So anyhow, my father is calling you. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to him, he made him stay by him, and he gave him a job, and then eventually got him married to one of his daughters. After Musa alayhi salam lived for 10 years there, then he was going back to Fir'aun, Allah ta'ala, he was going back to his hometown, and Allah ta'ala gave him nabuwat on the way back. He was sent to Fir'aun, and now he goes to Fir'aun, and he gives him the dawah towards Iman and Islam. He's not prepared to accept. He had pride and arrogance. So Allah says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. We took hold of him and his army, and we flung them in the ocean. See what was the final result of these zalims and oppressors. We made them imams who are calling people towards the fire of Jahannam. And on the day of the Qiyamah, they will not be helped and assisted. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this whole incident which Allah has given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a clear proof that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does he know all of this information? From where did he get it? Definitely it has come to him from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of the idol worshipping of the people and the wrong beliefs which the people of Makkah Mukarramah had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, O Nabi of Allah, you cannot guide whomsoever you want to, whoever you love. ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. But Allah grants hidayah to whomsoever He wants to. And He knows very well who is the person who are rightly guided. Hidayah lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our duty to make an effort, and thereafter to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we cannot give hidayah. Hidayah is not in our own hands, for our own bodies also. How can we give hidayah to anybody else? So we have to just make an effort and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, hidayah lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's qudrat and great power is so much that the day and night is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. If Allah wants the night to continue till the day of Qiyamah, which other deity besides Allah will bring back the light? And if Allah ta'ala makes the day forever till the day of Qiyamah, which deity besides Allah ta'ala will bring the night in which a person has rest? Can't you people see, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has made the day and Allah has made the night, so you can rest at night, you can go out in the day and seek your rozi and sustenance. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And you can see these great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah. Make shukr to Allah ta'ala. Be grateful to Allah ta'ala for these great bounties which Allah has given to you. In the morning we are taught the dua, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَقَالَنَا يَوْمَنَا هَذَا وَلَمْ يُهْلِكْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا. To make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah ta'ala for giving us a new day in our life. How many of us we even remember this dua, to make this dua daily? And at night also to make shukr and thank Allah ta'ala for the night. How wonderful the sleep Allah gives to us. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا فَعَدَمَا مَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And there are other du'as also which thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. So Allah said, whatever I have given you in this world is so a person can make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. Finally, Allah mentions the incident of Qarun. The people of Makkah Mukarramah were very proud over their wealth. We've got so much of wealth. Allah said, your wealth is nothing at all. Look what we gave Qarun, so much. They just the keys of it. One whole jamaat, strong jamaat, they will be able to carry the keys of the wealth of Qarun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says five nasihahs and five advices his people gave to him. This is for all people who Allah has given wealth. Number one, la tafrah. Do not have pride and arrogance. That Allah has given you the wealth. It's not your wealth. It's an amanah from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whatever Allah has granted to you, seek with it the life of the year after. Don't lose or keep everything in this worldly life, but use that money for the akhirah, for the life of the year after. وَلَا تَنْتَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And do not forget your portion of this world. One meaning of ulama says, there are hukuk and rights which a person has got in this world. for his wife, his children, he has to look after them. Doesn't mean send all of your money to the akhirat now. You forget your rights and to fulfill the rights of people in this world. This is one meaning of it. Or it can mean, وَلَا تَنْسَنَ سِيبَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Do not leave your portion of wealth which Allah has given you in this world. Send it to the akhirat. Why are you leaving everything in this world? Because whenever, whatever you leave in this world will remain in this world forever. And you won't get any benefit for it in the year after. So don't leave your portion in this world. Send it to the year after. This is taqid and an emphasis of the first ayat. And one third meaning which the Mufassirin mentioned, that how will a person decide to spend in the year after? So think about your maut. Wala, do not forget your portion of this dunya. What portion have you got in this world? The only portion you've got in this world is your qabr and is your kafan. It's the thing what a person will take with him in the grave. Nothing else a person will take. This is your portion of this world. So when you keep that in front of you, it becomes very easy now for a person to spend his wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. How Allah has favored you, Allah has given you wealth, you make ihsan to other people, you be kind to other people. And do not utilize this wealth in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not cause fasad and corruption in the earth. Allah doesn't like those people who will cause corruption. But he was arrogant in pride. He said, I have been given this money because of my know-how, my intelligence. I got a lot of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there were people before him who had more wealth than him also, who were stronger than him. And Allah ta'ala destroyed them. So anyhow, when he comes out of his house with arrogance and pride, people of this world who intended this worldly life, they're only looking up to the big people, people who got more wealth than themselves, and they think, only if we had the same like what Qarun had got. He is a fortunate person, but people of knowledge. So the opposite of people of الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, Allah says, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. That means the people of knowledge are the people يُرِيدُونَ الْآخِرَةِ, whose object of life is akhirat. And the people who do not have true knowledge, then automatically their object of life will be this worldly life. So the actual way to get desire for akhirat is to get knowledge, but not just outward superficial knowledge, to get the haqiqat and reality of knowledge, knowledge of akhirat, knowledge of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has got this knowledge, then they said, waylakum, destruction to it, woe to you. The reward which Allah ta'ala has kept is far, far better for those who have got iman and do good actions. And only those who have got the quality of sabr in them, they will be given this great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing which Qarun had so much of pride was, the same land, Allah used the same thing to destroy him. Whenever a person uses something in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Allah's system. That Allah ta'ala, he takes the same thing and destroys the person with it. Firaun also, he said, this lands of Misr is mine. These rivers are flowing under my control. And he has pride over that. Allah used the same rivers to destroy Firaun and his people. So similarly, Qarun, he had common pride over his wealth and his stand and all of the properties which he had. Allah used the same land to completely destroy him. Then those people who were desiring to be wealthy, they realize what a mistake they had made. And they said, if Allah didn't make ihsan upon us, we would have been completely destroyed, also eaten up in the ground. The kuffar can never be successful. Allah said, the life of the year after, Allah has made it for those who do not intend pride and arrogance in the earth, and they do not want to cause guna and sin in the world. The final result, the best result, is for the people of taqwa and piety. And then the after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given glad tidings that Allah will return him back to Makkah Mukarramah. So do not ever take any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, eventually everything will be destroyed in the world. Illa wajha, except the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or except those a'mal and actions which are done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will remain forever and forever. The last surah is Surah An-Kabut, which was recited last night. And in Surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the system of imtihan in this world, that for sometimes, like Musa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make a sacrifice. So through hijrat and through jihad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success to the Muslim ummah. They will be tested in this worldly life, different intihads and tribulations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. First, all of us, Allah says, to this man thinks he will be left to say, I believe, and he won't be tested in this world. It's Allah's system in this world. From the past errors that Allah ta'ala tested people, so Allah can differentiate between the truthful people and those who are liars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever sacrifice you make in this world, you are only benefiting yourselves. So Allah is completely independent. He doesn't need our mujahada and our sacrifice and whatever we are doing. And sometimes examinations will come in different ways. Sometimes from your own parents also. But Allah has commanded us, be kind to your parents. If they force you to make shirk with Allah ta'ala, to take partners with Allah ta'ala, don't follow them. Remember, you have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, look at Nuh alayhi wasalam. 950 years he gave da'wah to his people. What sacrifice he made. They were not prepared to accept. And eventually they were destroyed. So Nuh alayhi wasalam, such a great Nabi of Allah, was tested. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a great Nabi of Allah, he himself was tested. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was tested. Ishaq, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. In the incident of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, again is mentioned here. And Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam went to his people. Allah said, all of these people were tested. So if such great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was tested, does man think he won't be tested in this worldly life? Allah is not going to take his imtihan and examination. Definitely. And remember, when Allah will take imtihan, there will be the kuffar and the disbelievers with all of their planning against the Muslim people. But Allah Ta'ala says, whoever you take as a partner besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the example of that person is like a spider which has made a house. And that house is so weak. وَإِنَّهُنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُنَ عَنْكَبُوتِ. The weakest of houses is the house of a spider. If only you people know it has got no reality. So whoever you hold firm onto and you put your trust upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are holding onto a spider web which is completely weak. One broom taken, knocked onto it, that whole spider web is completely destroyed. So all of these you are taking as partners besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are extremely weak and eventually will be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us put our full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to put our trust in anything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give us the yaqeen and reality of all of these things.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'an adhkurallah ma'a qawmin ba'da salati al-fajr ila tulu'i shams ahabu ilayya min al-dunya wa ma fiha, ولأن أذكر الله مع قوم بعد صلاة العصر إلى أن تغيب الشمس أحب إلي من الدنيا وما فيها. رواه البيهقي. حضرت أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه سمرويه كنبي أكرم صلى الله عليه وسلم نے إرشاد فرمایا کہ میں ایک جماعت کے ساتھ صبح کی نماز کے بعد سے آفتاب نکلنے تک ذکر میں مشغول رہوں، یہ مجھے دنیا اور دنیا کی تمام چیزوں سے زیادہ محبوب ہے. اسی طرح عصر کی نماز کے بعد سے غروب تک ایک جماعت کے ساتھ ذکر میں مشغول رہوں، یہ مجھے دنیا اور دنیا کی تمام چیزوں سے زیادہ پسندیدہ ہے. حضرت انس بن مالک رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ قوت نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, sitting with people engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Fajr Salah until the sun rises is more beloved to me than whatever the sun rises upon. Similarly, to sit with such people after Asr Salah until the sun sets is more beloved to me than the entire world and whatever it contains. Again, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu quotes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as having said, sitting with people engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Fajr Salah until the sun rises is more beloved to me than whatever the sun rises upon. Similarly, to sit with such people after Asr Salah until the sun sets is more beloved to me than the entire world and whatever it contains.